Today's show, EA Sports ranks the top 25 toughest places to play in America. We have thoughts. NBA draft is here. It's not very exciting unless you like Bronny James. And a couples dispute in New Zealand heads to court.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Pat needs a timeout.
Russ Dellinger.
They used to poke him with a stick.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Three TV channels and one Pong. That's all we had.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and we all know the EA Sports game is coming up. Big excitement in college athletics. We have not been here in 10 years. Name, image, and likeness has returned the game. All the early reviews is it's going to be incredible. I've seen some of the videos. It looks amazing. They did an incredible job of just getting like everything in there. Just all the little side details of college athletics. I'm sure the game will be good to play in terms of just the competitiveness of the game. But what interests me is, you know, just, I don't know, just the little quirks of the stadium, the traditions, the just all the different things, right? It's in the game. Are either of you guys going to play this game before we get to our topic?
I have a lot to say on this, but I'm going to start with no.
I want to hear more.
Yeah, I want to hear more. You have a lot to say.
I'm in.
Not excited, Pat? Not excited?
We'll get to it.
I've got a lot to say.
I've got to kind of find my
I will not probably play the game because I have, if any one who listens, I can have an addictive side to my personality. And I learned long ago that video games were good when I was had little responsibility in life. But at this stage of my life, I could easily start playing this game and wind up with like a 3-day beard on ordering like pizza with my family angry with me and divorce papers coming. I could be lost in the any of the games. So I try to stay away from this.
I could see Wetzel moving into a like divorcee bachelor pad with like a recliner and a TV and playing the game. And that's
right. But I took UTEP to the title game. Like it would all be worth it. So I don't know. We'll see. We will see how much I play, but I understand how exciting the game is for others. Ross gamer. I don't see you as much of a gamer.
No, not anymore. Yeah. I mean, I used to be. I played the game plenty in high school and college. I mean, in college football, 04 or 02 or whatever was like, right up my alley. But I don't think I'll be playing the game.
Okay, though. Well, here's the fun part. They're hyping up their stuff, and no better way to get attention for their game than coming up with some lists that are sure to anger everybody. And
it's really a brilliant marketing strategy.
Pretty easy. We're easy perfect crowd here in college football, though. We're an easy crowd. So they released their top 10 toughest places to play in college football. This is the EA Sports people. They have claimed that they, the development team. See, it sounds official. The development team. Mm-hmm. Work to compile a list of the top 25 toughest places to play, factoring historical stats such as home winning percentage, home game attendance, active home winning streaks, team prestige, and more. So they have us. They got a formula. Like we said the other day, I fell for somebody's formula. This is science, Pat. I don't know what you're laughing about.
Yeah, it was College Football Network or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're right, maybe they're not. We don't know. We don't know. Science. Are you guys know the top? I'm going to give you the top 10. I'm going to read them backwards. Number 10, Florida, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Number 9, Doak S. Campbell Stadium. Number 8, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. 7, Camp Randall at Wisconsin. 6, Beaver Stadium, Penn State. 5, Sanford Stadium, Georgia. 4, Ohio Stadium, Ohio State. 3, Tiger Stadium, LSU. 2, Bryant-Denny Stadium, Alabama. And number 1, and this is, they have science, or they just threw this out there to enrage so many people. Kyle Field, Texas A&M. Pat, your thoughts on Kyle Field, Texas A&M being number 1, or anyone else in that top 10?
Yeah, well, okay. I have to unspool this a little here. For starters, okay, I am old, right? We already know that. We all know that. There's a demarking line in American society and perhaps in the entire world civilization between you were born, played video games, or you did not. I fell on the side that did not. We would like go to a video arcade and play Defender and Galaga and Pac-Man sometimes, but home video Pong. Games really didn't exist. We got Pong, and get this. My uncle alleges that he invented Pong, but had the copyright stolen from him. He did.
What the hell is Pong?
It's like the first video game. It's the board.
It was the Look first it up. Video it's the board.
That was game. Like it something was... that starts with an A, like RTS or something like that.
Atari came out.
Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah. Atari was but after Pong?
No, they created Pong or something. Pong is the worst video game ever.
Pong was truly like caveman it's video
not
game.
Even.
But that
I'm
was
Googling.
It.
And I'm
you
Googling
see
now.
What Pong looks like.
Do it.
It's
just
God.
A ball that goes back and forth.
Look at this thing. It's just
back and forth. Yeah. And you move the little thing up and down.
There's two buttons to the remote. Yeah. There's just two.
It's like racket ball in slow motion on a TV in black
Pong
and white.
Pong had to crawl EA Sports can run.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
The old machine, the machines look like this is brown machine with yellow Pong.
If you want to know why Pat's always so angry, it's because he had to play Pong as a child. Someone said,
this was our entertainment. 3 TV channels and 1 Pong. That's all we had.
Is Pong the video version of pickleball?
Pickleball's more interesting than Pong.
Kind of. Much more interesting. There's actual human beings involved.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, like I never got the video game thing. All right, that's the beginning of the genesis of my complete lack of interest in this. Secondly, the people who did fine, good for you. But I still want to like watch the real games and watch them play. And the level of interest in people making their own teams and playing their own games to me is mystifying. I get none of it. And then when you take it to that next level, where EA Sports is going to decide who has the toughest home fields? Why do we give a shit what a video game company says as far as who has the toughest home fields?
Because on the video game, Pat, it's the level of difficulty at these stadiums. So A&M, Kyle Field will be the level 1 difficulty.
Development team, Pat. Okay. Development team.
Who cares? Who cares? Okay. We put that out there.
Man, I'm starting
we better
to pick
react
up a trend.
To that. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm starting to pick up a
this
trend.
Is big news. EA Sports has a home field difficulty
Pat needs
scale.
A vacation.
Holy.
Are you getting some time off before the Olympics? Because I don't want to be in Paris when you're yelling at French people like this.
I might. I just, when I saw this, I was like, wait, so a video game has decided
they have science.
What the home field advantages are. And we're for supposed
their,
to react
for
to
the
it?
Game,
you know
the level of difficulty, Pat. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, the game that I don't care about.
Well, you know what? Well, some people don't. Literally watch people play the games. So there's an audience for that.
E-sports.
I mean, okay.
I know.
Right, well, thank you.
Now,
the topic's off to a great
frontier
start.
Of weird.
Yeah, we're really rolling here.
I told you I'm coming in curmudgeon on this one.
All right. Ross, you think Kyle Field should be number 1? Pat needs a timeout.
Probably not. I mean, Kyle Field is obviously. I was there this past year for the Alabama game, and it was a day game, and it was insanely loud. In the press box sways, it's certainly in the top 5 or so. But I mean, these rankings are all so subjective. I was surprised that Tiger Stadium wasn't number 1. LSU, that's the one you hear probably most about. with noise. I was also surprised that Florida Stadium wasn't higher. I feel like that stadium is pretty intimidating and really loud too. But hey, A&M's press box sways, man, and you got the military folks swaying and doing their thing.
In the military?
Fake military.
Military?
As Dan calls them, the fake army.
Some of them are ROTC, thank you for your service. ROTC. Thank you for your service. Some of them, no, they're not. Your guy, Mike Leach, said it was a fake army. He was going to create fake pirates and put them in Lubbock, which I thought was funny, because if you are a pirate... Lubbock, which is about as far from water as any town in America.
That's true. You ain't getting any pirate ship anywhere near Lubbock.
Pirates? I'm not sure what that was about. But anyway, he was the pirate. He really coached. I mean, he lived in Key West when he wasn't coaching. But for a guy known as the pirate, his most famous work was in Lubbock, Pullman, and Starkville. None of them known for their waterways. Kyle Field now is pretty intimidating. It's huge. I think that end zone traps in a...
How come they don't win?
Well, this is the part where I'm a little... I don't... Because they're not that good.
Where's the science in this? Hearing about this science.
This is my problem with this science. Actually, this is my problem. My problem is not even with Kyle Field. It's number two Bryant Denny Stadium. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think Bryant Denny Stadium is nearly the second most, what is this thing called? Toughest place to play. Well, it is because the other team is Alabama. Okay, that's why. It's not the stadium or the crowd that I think is the second toughest. If we're going to do this, it should be what's really the hardest place to play if all the teams are equal. And I don't know how you do this, but I would think like something like Wyoming, because you got to play at like 7,200 feet and it snows half the time, or there's a hurricane or blizzard or whatever, or your bus got trapped trying to get there on Friday night. Everything is nuts. I think that is actually a harder place to play. If you put Alabama's talent in Wyoming and they haven't lost a home game in 100 years. Bryant Denny Stadium's a little bit of like a wine and cheese crowd. They've won so much. I understand it. The students are all in their suits and ties that they're kind of more into having a date, and then they all leave. I like the Dixieland. It's good. It's good. And it's a great trip. But is it harder to play there than LSU? I don't think so. I think LSU's louder. So that's my thing is like, yeah, statistically they've won all these games, but that's because Alabama plays there.
I think the way you would quantify it, if it were me, is what is your team's performance at home against the point spread? Do you overachieve compared to what is expected? And can that then be attributed to your home field advantage, so to speak? Like I said for years, the Virginia Tech people were so mad, but I said it's the most overrated home field in the country because they weren't winning there and they weren't covering spreads there. Like, yeah, but we got Sandman. Well, good. Congratulations. And it's loud. Great, great. Does it help your team win? And with the answer there with them was no. So you can quantify this, and maybe that's the science that EA Sports went into here, but that would be the one I would think would be more applicable.
Well, Dan, I put the Alabama one also in the same conversation as Ohio Stadium. I mean, it's more the team. It doesn't strike me as somewhere that is big, obviously, and it is loud. But all these places are big and loud.
I feel hurt. I'm hurt. So. That's Ohio Stadium now.
Yeah, that's your Dan's favorite stadium, I believe.
Stadium is. That horseshoe thing, there's these like pillars and these weird like there's bodies buried in that pillar. I swear there's stuff going on there. It's terrifying. It was built to like as a war or something. I don't know what is this thing. There's like there are freshmen that showed up to try out for Woody Hayes' team. They died, and he hid their bodies in those those towers on the end zones. And the bars.
What the hell? I'm telling you,
that place
about?
Is crazy. Ohio, and then they got the gunmen up on the top. You see, ever seen those snipers, Pat? They got the snipers up top. Yeah, like, sure. I mean, look at one more good run out of you, and they might get put a cap it.
Donovan Edwards.
Yeah, it's like they got armed guards on the top. There's all these weird things. It's shaped like a horseshoe. It is loud. That place is loud, and there's all the bars are really close by. And Ohio Stadium, I think that's tougher than Bryant-Denny. Not taking that. But I get your point.
I would say the general feeling of menace is greater at Ohio Stadium than almost anywhere else. Like you could get beat up, inside or outside. The fans are going to be not just intense but maybe nasty.
Throw you in that river and drown you. They'll swim you out to the that old and tangy. That's a serious stadium now. I love Ohio Stadium. It's my favorite.
Hey, you want to get beat up and thrown in a river, Baton Rouge.
Sorry.
That one's probably number one. I mean, I'm obviously a little biased spending so much time down there, but I mean, that was the surprise of the list.
Number
like
three.
That one, pretty much when you talk to coaches, players, anybody within college athletics, like that's the one night at Tiger Stadium is the most intimidating and toughest place to play, I think, in college football. That's from people who done it. I think the majority of people would vote that way. That was one of the ones that was surprised.
I would say this, like about that. Like to me though, the atmosphere at Tiger Stadium before the game is really happy and festive, like because everybody's having a good time. Once they go inside, then it's intense. And then if the Tigers lose, holy cow, they get so mad. So mad. But beforehand at Ohio Stadium, like I said, if you're a visiting team fan, you feel like you might get jumped. At Tiger Stadium, you feel like you might get asked over.
Yeah, they give you some
alligator.
Gumbo, and then later, you know.
That's Southern hospitality.
The sun has found its home in the western sky. Saturday night in Death Valley. Ohio Stadium, no, they're not nice. Heck no, why would you be? You're the Buckeye or you're not. We should forget toughest place to play. Stadium most likely to get your ass kicked, as apparently as Pat's. Pat's where are you going to get beaten up? So this is that. Like, I don't know about these criteria. That's my thing. And I think you make a good point. I think Tiger Stadium is more intimidating than Bryant-Denny Stadium. Bryant-Denny Stadium is like happy and nice. And Neyland Stadium at Tennessee is 13th. I would play it. Yeah, I would play it. Bryant-Denny over Neyland is a circus. Right. It is fantastic.
Neyland's top five.
Absolutely. They're hucking things at Lane Kiffin. They're carrying the goalposts of the Tennessee River. They got a Navy. And they may have guns on that boat. Tennessee is awesome to go to.
Muskets.
Awesome place to watch a game. Yeah. And so they haven't been winning, but at the level of Alabama. But I think if you asked, they really need to poll the coaches, like where would you least want to play if regardless of the team. I think Neyland Stadium brings it no matter what. And so I find that to be, that one was underrated at 13.
You don't want to just have a video game creator tell you what's the toughest?
The play? Development team.
Like to poll the coaches and ask.
I don't know what I would come up with, but I...
Science.
Sanford Stadium, beautiful place. It's very intimidating, undoubtedly. But again, I don't know if it's top five. It might be top five to go
Tennessee
see a game.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if you were going to go pick a weekend to go somewhere to watch a football game, Sanford Stadium, Athens, Georgia, top five. I would have no problem with that. But I don't know that it's the most intimidating. I was there one time and there was a blackout and all the co-eds were wearing like black cocktail dresses. Like
And Alabama kicked their ass. I was there.
It's a little too like, that's the thing about Ohio Stadium. Like the Ohio Stadium students, they don't wear suits and cocktail dresses. They jerseys and sweatshirts, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're student bodies ready to jump out in the field. A couple guys, I think, got pads, and like they just line them up there in that one end zone.
Yeah, as far as like I would say like a desperate need to see their team win, I would definitely put Ohio State, I'd put Tennessee, I'd put LSU, I'd put Auburn up there.
Beautiful Auburn. Place too.
Woo, that gets intense. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Everything, the grass is perfect. You know, but like places where it is desperately intense, I would put those all on that list.
How about the Kalenga? The cowbells making an appearance.
25th.
Barely squeaking into the poll.
Yeah, I do have the rest here. Autzen Stadium, 11. Oregon. Memorial Stadium in Clemson, 12. Neyland's 13, underrated. Jordan-Hare at Auburn, 14, underrated. Williams-Brice Stadium, South Carolina, 15. I like this. They put some respect on Williams-Brice Stadium, because that is that could be wild. They all got their towels and the whole thing. This still may be a little high, although it has gotten tougher since they built the press boxes and stuff. 16 is Michigan Stadium, but I appreciate that they didn't put Michigan Stadium in like the top 10. Michigan Stadium is massive. Obviously, it's the biggest stadium. It's a very cool place. I think it's an unbelievable place to watch a game, especially early in the year when you can tailgate on that golf course. Like, it doesn't really get a lot better than when you're sitting on a fair. Like, it's beautiful. It's not just some parking lot or, like, anything. Like, you're sitting on a fairway, you know, some Bermuda and, and tailgating on a beautiful day. But it's not in – I don't know that it's in – intimidating other than when it's probably more intimidating when you walk in on Friday night and you're just like, holy cow, look at this thing. 17 Lane Stadium in Virginia Tech. Pat does not like it.
Overrated.
And they used to get it popping, but 18 Rice Eccles Stadium, Utah.
Underrated.
What's the altitude?
Yeah, and that place now, they crank it up there. They really do. The last few years, that has been, and their record shows it. You know, it's another one. If you want to go, you know, look at records, they do very, very well.
Let me jump back to Autzen, and I'll get through the rest of the list.
I have some
Outs. Okay, thoughts. Like undoubtedly, everybody says it's incredibly loud. I have never seen a game there. I know Ross, you were there last year. It's not that big. What is it about Autzen that is so? Like, why? Like, what is it?
Yeah. Pat's probably been there more than me, but I've covered the Colorado game there. And it was an early game, an early kickoff, and it was full and it was loud. And also, it's just like a beautiful backdrop. It's got like the mountains in the background. It's like gorgeous. But it's a bowl, you know, all the way around. So obviously, I think that kind of helps. And everything does just kind of feed down to the field. That it feels like the noise.
Yeah, the other thing they have there, they've got roofing over the stands because it rains a lot. And so that does help trap some of the noise. But, you know, I had so many people say, man, isn't this loud? You know, people that live there. And it is loud, and they should be proud of their noise. But it's like, yeah, all right, go to Tiger Stadium. Go to Auburn.
And I tell you what,
it's a different loud. I'm sorry, it's a different loud at LSU and at Auburn and some other spots.
Speaking of like roofs over the fans, you know what didn't make the list was Washington Stadium. And I was there. Me and Pat were both there, I think, for the Oregon game, and it was exceptionally loud. And it does have some kind of reverberation off of that big overhang roof.
It feels like any.
It does, and that's the thing. With Washington, I think it's just very much dependent how the team's doing.
Yeah.
The fans, you know, they live in Seattle. They got other things to do. And if the Huskies are 5-5, we might show up. We might not. If we show up, we might not yell that loud. Yeah.
I feel like, those anything with the overhang helps. It just makes sense. There aren't domes really in college. Has anybody got a dome in college football play?
Syracuse.
And that is a low dome.
Yeah.
Because in the –
it used to be very loud
they
back
fill
in
it
the
up,
day.
Yeah, because there's good. Nowhere – like, naturally, you would think – like, I was at a Detroit Lions playoff game last year, and I was sitting next to Peter King, Who obviously covered the NFL for 50 years, and he thought it was, he said, like, is this the loudest you've ever heard a stadium? And I said, I mean, because really? It's a low roof. It's not like New Orleans got the big dome, and like it gets, but like just naturally, it's not like a people screaming in one, like voices are louder at Baton Rouge than they are at, like if everyone's screaming, right, you pretty much make the same noise. But it's the acoustics of it do matter, you would think. But we don't, we have Syracuse and then like Idaho, right? Not a lot of domes in college.
Yeah. Northern Iowa.
Yeah, probably.
Poor Tulane when they used to have to play in the Superdome.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't know. I remember going to Outson. I'd like to go. Big Ten country now.
I mean, it is. It's a great college town, a beautiful setting for the stadium, and it is loud, but the insistent that that it's like the loudest place on earth.
I remember being at on the field at LSU. I think they were playing Bama, and the noise was so loud. They were, you know, some big drive. I think it was an overtime or I don't know. And we're down there, and like I was trying to talk, say something to the person standing right next to me, screaming it, and they couldn't hear. Like just it just was no communication. It was just unfathomably loud.
The night, it was one night when they were playing Alabama down there, and Ross, I was there. I don't know. I'm sure you were there, cause I don't think I was at SI yet when Bobby Hebert got thrown out of the press box.
That was in Auburn. That was in Auburn.
Oh, was it Auburn game?
Yeah. It was LSU Auburn 2007. I think. Yeah. Cause I was actually a beat writer. I was covering Auburn at the time, but I was in the LSU press box. We got an email the Monday after the game from LSU's media staff apologizing for the disruption that Bobby Hebert caused by banging on the glass and screaming at the top of his lungs. Didn't understand it, even as a person from down there.
Yeah, well, this might have been a second time.
Maybe.
Later on, because I think I remember gets a little tweeting. Passionate. You know,
Bobby's been known for his
because this was during the Twitter era. I tweeted about Bobby saying something, doing something, and him literally them coming over and saying, you got to leave. But that was one of those nights. And I think, gosh, do the windows open there? I thought it was open air. And yes. I was just like,
windows do open. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So loud. I was like, I mean, Bobby had to really raise his voice to be heard.
That's the loudest I ever heard a stadium was actually, it wasn't an Alabama game. It was LSU Ole Miss probably in 2015. So Hugh Freeze and Bo Wallace came to Tiger Stadium undefeated and ranked, I think, number one or number two in the country. And LSU was like, you know, had lost a couple games and was kind of going downhill a little bit. And that game was the final score was a Les Miles score of 10-7, I believe. And LSU scored on a tight end, like rollout pass on fourth and goal or third and goal to basically win the game. And as soon as the pass was caught, I remember thinking that had to register on the seismograph. You know, the legendary story of the LSU Auburn game in the 80s that registered the earthquake game. Hey, Dan, I have the 15 loudest stadiums in the world ranking up. Do you know that I had kind of forgot about this? The Chiefs like set the record. This past year with a 140 something.
Yeah, the Chiefs the Arrowhead owns that record. That is a wild place.
They're not official,
I've covered a number of games there.
Yeah,
but I just like this is my thing with these. Maybe they can get to that number. If everyone's yelling at once, like they're like, hey, let's set the world record. You know, people are crazy suckers for world records, right? Someone's making the biggest bowl of pasta, and you know, the whole five counties show. But how could a stadium that's open air be louder than a stadium with a roof? Is that louder than Lucas Oil or
how do we trust these decimal readings? I mean, can't you just kind of manipulate
Guinness
that
world
however
record
you want?
Guy shows up.
Yeah. The number two on this is a soccer stadium, probably because it holds, the capacity is only 80,000. But Westfalen Stadion in Germany. It says that it's number two. Number three is Tiger Stadium. The college football on here. Number three is Tiger Stadium. Number five is Neyland Stadium. Hmm. Yeah, I mean that was very underrated on the list. That in Florida, the Vikings Dome Stadium is
a good because that's a small 10. Dome too.
And look what's number 11, Williams-Brice on here. Top 15 in the world, according to StadiumTalk.com.
Do they have, I think South Koreans get cheated on this drum. Did they have the North Korean stadium that has like 200,000 seats?
200,000?
No, I don't see that. But they do have, this is an odd one, Minute Maid Park.
Oh come on.
This might discount the entire list.
Did they put that one on there as a joke?
Hey, number three is Allen Fieldhouse.
Allen Fieldhouse is really, really loud.
The old Gallagher Iba was insane. 6,000. Yeah. That thing was like that was like a room that they just happened to play basketball in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron.
Rungrado First of May Stadium in North Korea. It says it seats 150, but I thought they had a crowd of like 200 there once for something.
How do you even build a stadium for 100? Dude,
the North Koreans just do whatever, because the guy, maybe it was like the father who shot a 37 in golf. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He aced every hole.
14 hole in ones or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably like really like 60,000.
You're going to count? You're going to say no?
Yeah, you know, nobody's getting in the
Guinness
country
book
to count,
has so. Claimed it. Yeah, I don't know. All right, I got to get a break in here. Let's go to break. We'll continue this discussion in a minute.
Two that we haven't mentioned, that one I think is absolutely legitimately loud, and one that has always been notoriously kind of not loud. First, super loud. Beaver Stadium.
That's sexy.
And not loud, Notre Dame
Stadium.
We're
going to get to Notre Dame. Beaver Stadium. So I didn't do a good job, again, hosting the show, so we haven't. Beaver Stadium 6. I think that's legit. I think it's very tough to play, especially at night, and the whiteout particularly. It's incredible scene. Camp Randall.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. 7. Very cool place. Again, kind of got the city right around it. Mm-hmm. Gaylord Family, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Cool place to see a game. Love Norman. I don't think that's necessarily 8. I just think Oklahoma wins a million football games.
Right. I agree. That's one of those where you're kind of surprised. It's like, I thought there might be a little more oomph.
I think I would encourage anyone to go there to see a game, but I wouldn't think you'd say this was the most it's intimidating because the Sooners are on the other sideline. Doak Campbell at Florida State, especially at night when they're doing their chant, like it's just relentless. Yep. And it's just coming in from the dark.
Yeah.
And you don't know how many of them are up there.
Yeah, that does kind of like that wears on you listening to that thing all for 3 hours.
I would think. Yeah. Okay. 19, Darrell K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium, Texas, of course. Huge. I think it's tough to play because it's off at 105 degrees. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. 19, that's probably about right. It's a lot like Michigan Stadium. It's like really big.
It's huge, but you don't. I've never been there where you were just like, oh my God, the crowd is influencing this game, you know? And maybe like they covered a double overtime Texas Notre Dame game when it was about 105, and it was very loud in the OT of that, but. You know, for the first 3.5 hours.
It's like the architecture matters. I think that's what does Michigan Stadium in. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a bowl. So now they put, again, they put those side things. I think before it was like really not intimidating. It got a lot louder when they put the boxes, seats. It kind of keeps a little of the noise in. Number 20, Kinnick Stadium, Iowa.
Never been there.
Cool place.
I've been there. I kind of, it was
20's not
loud.
Bad.
I've been there two or three times.
20's not bad. They may be, the people may be too nice. You know, they're waving.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You're waving.
I don't know. Depends how nasty. Yeah. Maybe you get them drunk from the lake. They come in. I don't know. That should be an offense. Here's one that I think. Yeah, I don't think this is intimidating place to play. Or what is it? Toughest place to play. Notre Dame Stadium. Historic. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Incredible campus.
Yep.
Like as manicured of a camp, like beautiful. You go to the grotto. You go check out the chapel, touchdown, Jesus, the Golden Dome, all those things. But I don't know that you go there and like, oh my goodness, how are we going to handle the Notre Dame crowd? Those students have too much to lose. They're too like civilized and like organized. They're like smart and stuff. Like we need some.
The one thing they do well at Notre Dame, they let a lot of the students in. I mean, basically the whole student body.
And they all go.
Big university. Yeah. I mean, they have a, yes, they all go. And they do their chants in unison and all that business. And they score and they do push-ups on top of each other and everything and throw people up in the air. It's fun. It's very fun. But there's also like when Georgia comes to town, there's 20,000 Georgia people in the stands. And when Cincinnati went in there, there was 15,000 Cincinnati fans.
It's almost so historic. Yeah.
It's bucket list trip for
so
the
you
visitors.
Lose out on that hunt like that and they don't, it's not conferences, so you're not playing there enough that you're just like, I'm not going over there, I've already been.
Right,
that's an interesting point. Right. I would knock it down for that. 10% of the crowd is always going to be on the other side, if not more.
Sure. And Notre Dame, they got a lot of season ticket holders who live in like New York and stuff. They get to points of the season, they're like, I'll sell the tickets or give them to somebody else.
22, underrated, far as I'm concerned. And I actually would put it ahead of Michigan Stadium, Michigan State, Spartan Stadium. When they're winning
Boy.
I mean, I think that's kind of your issue.
You remember, Dan, when we were there with the case of the missing tuba when they played Michigan? That was a very, very loud day.
I remember this game where they were playing Notre Dame when D'Antonio had it really rolling. And Charlie Weiss was the Notre Dame coach, and he had like knee surgery or something. And Michigan State won, and Charlie Weiss had to walk like 40 yards into like the, it's not the student sections down there, but this other end to go through this tunnel in the end zone. And he's kind of, he can't, his knee hurts. So he may have had a cane. I don't know, but he's going very slow. And the entire place is sitting there just screaming and heckling. this is this poor guy. Like he can't, anyone else would just jog off and get the hell out of there. It's like, this guy's like limping along. Like, right? This is going to take like 50 seconds. I got to just listen to these people scream at me. I think Spartan Stadium is a tougher play. If you put it this way, if it's like top 10 team in the joint, I would rather play at Michigan Stadium than Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, you gotta kind of like, when you think of these and rank them, I think you gotta imagine that every team is having a really good year. You know, like, what is it like when they're, each stadium is, where their team is having a good season?
Plus, Spartan, never, no sun, ever. Sun has not shined on Spartan Stadium after that first weekend game, the Connor Stallion sunglass game. Other than that, it's I don't care. Second week of September, gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
23. Yeah. Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, Arkansas. Inspired choice.
That can get going.
It can get really loud. Yeah, for sure. And they're nasty too. I mean, who knows what you're going to get thrown at you?
Oh yeah. Wait till Texas rolls in there this year. Don't they have to go there? I think that's in fact.
Oh yeah.
I remember being there season opener, lots of high hopes for them, and USC went in there. And USC was good, and USC absolutely destroyed them. But before the game, just like if you want to say based on the crowd, I was like, oh man, Arkansas is going to have a chance because listen to this place. And then they kicked off, and like Reggie Bush and Lindell White just
beautiful up there. Beautiful area. And then, like, even their rich guys, they're like chicken execs. Like, they're mean.
Chicken mean.
Like, they're not like hedge fund dudes.
Yeah, they're Cluck Norris type guys. Yeah.
That's a beautiful place to see a game. 24, Albertson Stadium, Boise State. Interesting.
Never been there either.
Place. Very cool. It's the blue.
Altitude. I've been there a lot of times, and I don't know. Even when they were rolling, I don't think they filled it.
They do now. They're doing a better job because I criticized them, and then people sent me all these stats. They're doing a better job, but it's only like 35,000. You know, 24 got thrown in. And then the Cowbell, Davis Wade Stadium, Mississippi State.
Klanga,
Stark Vegas. You know,
it's loud with those cowbells.
Where do teams stay when they come to Mississippi State?
Columbus, usually. Okay.
Yeah.
Or Tupelo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But
Golden Triangle.
Got to drive in there. That's at night. Yeah.
I will say that you remember, Ross, when the year was 2014 when they were undefeated with Dak and all that. And Auburn came in, and that was like the first real big showdown test. Can Mississippi State really handle, you know, being undefeated and stuff? And they beat them, and that place that day was, whoa, it was loud. And that was, it was a lot of cowbells ringing when maybe they weren't supposed to be ringing.
Yeah. Yeah. Ring responsibly.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, that's the slogan. Yeah, because
there was, the big hue and cry in the SEC for years that they were ringing them like too close.
Yeah, they almost. In 2009 or 2010, they instituted the rule. I mean, the SEC was basically going to, you know, prohibit them from the stadium by having officials flag them each time when the center was over the snap. If there were cowbells ringing to a certain degree, officials were going to flag them for illegal noisemakers. So they were going to keep on getting personal fouls at 15 yards. And so the rule does exist, but Mississippi State and actually the president there, Mark Keenum, kind of did a presentation for the league presidents that spring meeting and convinced them, do not get rid of our tradition. This is our tradition, like, you know, like Tiger Stadium with night kickoffs or Auburn with the eagle flying around, whatever, you know, this is our tradition. Don't get rid of it. And he convinced the room to keep it. And they started this Ring Responsibly campaign that has kind of persisted and been pretty successful, but they still can get flagged. You know, if the center is over the ball and it's loud enough for the official, I think, can actually flag them, but it's pretty rare.
I did walk out of there to go to the post-game press conferences with my ears like just ringing from the ringing. I mean, it was just endless.
Stadiums on here you think should have been on here. I already said War Memorial up at Wyoming.
Mm.
I've seen a game there. Yeah. I just think, going to Wyoming is crazy. It's such an unbelievable place. The altitude. It's the great joke of Jerry Tarkanian. I think I've said this on here because they paint in the locker room. You're at 7,200, whatever. It's actually a famous number, but 7,222. And they said, Coach, I'm nervous about this altitude. And he said, that only affects outdoors. Don't worry about inside the basketball room. This player bought it and ran play. They played hard. The Rebels won. Anyway, I just think that's – and it's always snowing. It's always something. And they get like 35, 40, like that's like, you know, 8% of the state is there. Like, you know, everyone's. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. They drive from ranches
they come
all
in
over
and
the
they swoop it up and it's, they don't care. It's about 12 inches of snow outside. We don't care. We're from Wyoming.
We mentioned Husky Stadium when they're rolling. It's pretty loud. But Boone Pickens, Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised that did not make the list, like in the top in the 20s or something. Because I've only covered a couple games there. They've both been, I think, against Oklahoma, so they were ratcheted up to a level a big degree. But it was impressively loud.
Like
that's a tight stadium. There's
3 inches
much room on the side.
Yeah, you run right into the wall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this school is sitting on the plains. It's endless room, and they, give me a couple feet here. Like, you going for you're running a post route, and he overthrows you. Heads up. Right into a brick wall. That's absolutely, they get after it. Anywhere else, Pat?
I'm trying. You guys have named a couple that I was thinking of.
They're all good in their own right, and if they're all winning, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky has great football fans given return on investment. They can get that place loud there, but it's in the SEC. That's their problem. In the SEC, in terms of talent, that you can have good talent, but there's still seven above you or eight. And in terms of crowd noise, there's probably seven or eight above you, maybe more.
I think like Lubbock, Texas Tech, Ames, Iowa State, those are they can be really, really fun. But again, I think it's the architecture. They're just sort of more open.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas State's a hell of a place to go play.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't easy to get to. And then you got the
NC State has some
little some juice. They're popping.
Yeah,
I think.
Mm-hmm. But that's another one. That stadium is kind of just feels.
What about the factor of the killer animals? Right. So like LSU, you got they trot that Mike the Tiger out.
Yeah. They used to.
Well, they don't bring them around anymore.
Yeah. No.
They buzz the sideline with Mike the Tiger.
Well, yeah, he's going through an evolution of how much access that Mike the Tiger has to the stadium. And like now, I believe now they're at zero. I mean, just like maybe 5-7 years ago, they used to truck him around in the nice cage. And then probably 30 years ago, they used to truck him around and then leave him at the outside of the visiting locker room. And because there's amazing stories from coaches coming right out of the locker room to a live tiger right there, right, roaring. And then 50 years ago, they used to poke him with a stick outside the locker room and get him all riled up. I mean, it's amazing. Feed him red meat probably as well,
Poke him with a stick.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know what?
Yeah.
Colorado runs a giant 1,000-pound buffalo around
that
the field
amazing.
Right before kickoff.
Yeah, that one's really
awesome.
You're
throwing Ralphie out there. Yeah. That's intimidating.
Yeah.
Sooner Schooner. Some good ones.
I was how about Sooner Bevo? Schooner tips over.
Bevo, those
Bevo.
Horns.
Bevo. Oof.
Bevo. Yeah, remember what Bevo got after
Ugga? Ugga got in a fight.
One bowl
Ugga wasn't backing down now.
What?
No, Ugga wasn't scared. Yeah. Some point, I feel like society will be like, these live masks, I'm not really looking.
Yes, we're starting
to get
there.
But.
Well, you know what? Florida really needs an alligator, right? They need a live gator.
They do. I know.
Don't they?
I'm
in a cage?
I
that would be great.
Snapping away at things.
How
to go live gator on us.
I know.
Well.
Arkansas puts a giant hog in a pen and pulls him out.
That's right. Yeah.
That thing. I mean, you look at that and get down on the sidelines like, oh, my God, that's 300 pounds of doesn't give a you know what.
Would you rather face a charging bison, a tiger, or that Razorback? I feel like the Razorback.
You're not picking the Tiger.
No, the
Tiger is
over quickly.
Tiger is you're done.
Tiger.
I feel like that Razorback is the best one to fight, but he'd give you the most painful
probably.
Death.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably. Bored. Yeah. Yeah. It would take longer for him to kill you. I think the bison runs you over once. You're probably done. Maybe he has to back up and run over you again, but the hog, it might take 3 or 4 gorings and bitings and tramplings.
Fresno State, they can be fun when they got a full house.
Yeah.
I gotta give a nod there. The stadium I love is UTEP Sun Bowl. I think it's one of the most beautiful stadiums tucked into the mountains. You look at night, you look out over, but, toughest place to play. No, pretty nice. Yeah. I mean, now you put Alabama in there again. I don't know. We are blessed with so many. See, this turned out to be a good topic once we got Pat off his anger. Give him some Zoloft or something. Zoloft or whatever it's called.
I just can't believe that the vehicle for launching this topic was a video game's rankings of how tough the home field is.
You got to do what you got to do. We got to do what you got to do. All right, NBA draft is this week. college basketball. This is not an exciting NBA draft. The most exciting, the guy everyone's talking about is Bronny James. And Ross, I know you didn't follow too much basketball, but Bronny James. Who? He's a famous father. Might have heard of him, LeBron James. I'm an epic athlete. Epic athlete.
That's
it's in paperback. You could buy one.
I didn't even know he had a son.
A couple of them. A couple, two sons and a daughter. But Bronny James is up. They got him pegged at the 55th pick to the Lakers. This is the most fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's a two-day draft this year. For some reason, the NBA thought the second round needed its own night.
You know why? They saw the NFL kill it for four nights.
I mean, the second round of the – I mean, yes, Nikola Jokic.
Just like these damn conference media – football media days, you know. Sure. The SC is going to end up being 9 days long of football media days. Good night.
Pat, your thoughts on Bronny
James? Sorry, Dan.
One of the reasons I said Dan Hurley shouldn't take that job is because your 40-year-old superstar is going to tell you to draft his son, who I'm not sure at all will ever be a like highlight NBA player. And I don't think there's any chance he is in the short term. You know, I think he goes straight to the G League for years, perhaps. And then they see whether he's good enough to contribute beyond that. And I hope he makes it, you know, nothing against Bronny James by any stretch or his very proud father, but I wouldn't want to draft him and have his dad monitoring his progress while he's also on your roster. So JJ Redick could be friends with the star player and then have the star player tell him, hey, we're drafting my son too, and I'd like to see him in uniform. So that's going to be difficult. But, you know, it's amazing to me. If you go back 2 years and look at the amount of people who are talking about Bronny James and the amount of people who are talking about Reed Shepard. And guess what? One of them might be a top five pick, and the other might be 55th and not even really deserve that. But that's how things change in recruiting. And like Reed Shepard could be the first non-UConn college player off the board after Donovan Klingon and Stephon Castle. He could go as high as
he
like
goes
five
high
or
as
six,
three, so. I've seen. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Okay.
Bronny, maybe. Four.
I mean,
go ahead.
That,
he's.
No, I mean, I watched him play in high school, and he was really good. And I said, that guy can definitely play at Kentucky, but I didn't know he could play so well that he would be a one-and-done who's going to go in the top five. It's amazing improvement.
Definitely. Bronny, 4.8 points, 2.1 assists, 2.8 rebounds. USC went 15-18. I had a veteran player personnel guy say, if I didn't know who he was and I was scouting USC, I wouldn't have noticed or written him up. I don't know.
I believe it.
So, but there's a lot of weird routes to the NBA. So you know, you'll see these guys, you're watching the playoff and they've spent like, they're around five different G League teams, the Australian League, a couple years in Turkey, and then just drained 17 points in the Western Conference Finals. And you're like, oh yeah, that guy. So who knows, but it is a weird draft. We would normally have done more draft, but, it's a weird draft when the most excited, the most talked about, is the 55th pick potential guy. So, I don't know, but I'm sure people will, get into it to watch. All right.
Not me.
You're not you. Two nights. Got two chances to watch.
When is this again?
This Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh,
there's not much going on. Stanley Cup's over. Tennessee. Congrats on winning the College World Series.
Oh was, yeah.
Yep. The come Vols. Back from a 1-0. Deficit to win that. So we'll do all that.
Congrats to previous producer
Sully Vall.
That life and
we
death.
We texted Vall. Him. Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did not hear back. He may or may not be alive. I don't. Know. If he died. He died a happy man. Sully Vall.
That's right.
Do it up.
And that ends our. Right.
That's the last of it.
The sports calendar, college sports calendar.
2023-24 athletic season is over.
All right, People's Court here, because this actually went to court in Australia. No, New Zealand. I'm sorry. Same difference, right? Kind of the same. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Right. You want to get beaten up? Tell them they're the same. A woman in New Zealand has sued her boyfriend. Woman in New Zealand sued her boyfriend for breaching a, quote, verbal contract after he failed to drive her to the airport and stay in her house with her dogs while she was away. The woman says she incurred costs of travel the next day for a shuttle to the airport and had to put her dogs in a kennel because her boyfriend didn't follow through on his obligation. He had previously promised her a ride to the airport and said he would watch the dogs.
Did he get drunk instead at the sports bar?
The couple identified as CL and HG. I'm glad we kept their I know we have a lot of people here who know randos in New Zealand. At least I can pronounce those names. HG. I can do that. CL. They had been in a relationship for 6.5 years and broke up over this argument. They had lived together for a few years, but then were living separately at the time. They get into all that. Apparently the man had promised a ride. So I'll tell you what the actual ruling is. But Pat, both at court and then, you know, the court of love, when you say you're going to give someone a lift to the airport, do you have to do it? And then if they don't, you have to dump that dude.
Case dismissed legally because the breakup is enough. Okay. I mean, like, okay, all right, fine. I'm not dating you anymore because you failed to take me to the airport, but you can't sue on top of that. I mean, come
on. She had to pay for a ride.
That seems a yeah. Okay. Well, you dated a deadbeat. You dated a bad guy. So in the court of love, yes, he deserves his he deserves to be kicked to the curb, broken up with, whatever. But legally, no, sorry. Let's not bog down the courts with suing over paying for a shuttle to the airport.
Imagine if every woman in America sued their boyfriend or husband for not following through on some kind of order. I mean, I'd be sued every other day. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah, I'd be sued into the oblivion.
It wasn't an order. He agreed to drive her to the airport. I mean, the ride to the airport is sacred. Whatever. It's a pain in the ass going to the airport.
It is. It is. I'm usually good about that. Like I, you know, if I'm at all able, I will give my spouse, children, or siblings-in-law rides to the airport. So I get that. So, but, you know, sue?
It's the only good part of the enhanced security at the airports. Well, other than the enhanced security part. But yeah, you no longer have to, like, meet them at the gate. You're just sitting in the cell phone. Right. Oh, yeah. Wait. Right. Pick them up.
Yeah.
Drop
yeah.
them off. Yeah. It's on right. you what's going on in there.
Yeah.
I think she had a case. I think, I mean, it's kind of a jerk move. This goes above and beyond. Nah, I don't know. I mean, he said, hey, man, I'll watch your dog. I mean, he gave a big promise. She should have known, though. Yeah. 6.5 years, and all of a sudden, this is the first inkling that this guy may not be reliable.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. And they had stopped living together, so that probably means that things were on the
rocks. He was trying to break up with her, and he found the perfect way. Like all the other things
maybe
he did,
so.
Like
he just didn't know it lead him
moving
to civil
out
court.
Of the house. That's that would generally be a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. The judge, tribunal referee, they call him down there. Tribunal referee said wow. partners and wow. friends make social arrangements all the time, but they're rarely enforceable by law. When friends fail to keep their promises, the other person may suffer financial consequence, but it may. But that they cannot be compensated for that loss. So you were right. Case dismissed, but the relationship is over. And what I find truly hysterical is some couple in Auckland had a fight over a ride to the airport, and we get to talk about it. Let's keep the law out of everything. They say America's a litigious society. Yeah.
That is true. It was a nice gift from the other side
of
the earth.
Can you imagine the ambulance chasers if they could get scorned relationships? He said he'd buy me flowers and didn't. Yeah, the courts would be bogged down.
Said he would get me an engagement ring. And
this feels like a Seinfeld, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. It does. Yeah, yeah.
I could see David, George Costanza getting sued for failing to drive someone to the airport. Complaining about the traffic on the Van Wyck. I'm not going to do it.
That's the famous line in Seinfeld's the episode with Keith Hernandez, and Keith Hernandez starts getting too close to Jerry, and George is making fun of their relationship, and Jerry says, "I'm not driving him to the airport."
Go. See, it's an intimate contract.
I mean, it is. It's a commitment.
And then didn't he break up with him because Keith Hernandez tried to get him to move? Right? Help him move.
He did move. Yeah, help him move. Jerry was like, I just can't do it. Too much. Yeah, I just can't. I can't do it. I can't. And then he talked about,
All right, I think the show needs to end. Hope you enjoyed our show.
June 25th.
Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. One episode next week because it's July 4th and we're lazy and we want to just screw around because it's July 4th weekend. So one episode next week. Plan accordingly. We will talk to you later.